is beginning to rain, 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 to the voice of our Father. Saying, whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky, it's beginning.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas. Hello, good friends. This is Tex Mars, and I'm glad to be with you today. It's a beautiful day. We have some squirrels and some deer frolicking around, and right here in my backyard, I can just see the creation that God has created. I don't understand how people can worship the creation and not the Creator. But the New Agers and the Mother Earth advocates do so. But I see the creation as a sign of God's greatness. He created it. And how can you substitute what He created for Him? Well, it takes a little bit of ignorance to do something that's silly, but some people in their great clamor to deny God do so. Glad to be with you here, and a lot of you write to us and have prayer needs, and I want to hear from you. Would you please let me know of those prayer needs? We will pray for you individually by name. So let us know of your prayer needs. I'm convinced that God will send through our prayers, God will send His holy angels to minister to you. You say, He doesn't care about me enough? Yes, He does. Yes, He does. And He answers prayers. And we have a lot of faith here. I promise you, I know He answers our prayers. Let us hear from you. Okay, my friends, we'd love to hear from you. And write to us, and if you're able, we'd love to have a love gift from you because we need your help. But if not, Don't send it thinking we're going to pray for you if you send us money, because we won't do that. We don't have people send us money and pay us to pray for them. We don't have that. Make sure that you or we don't want that. Make sure that you send a love gift because it's out of the desire of your heart to help God's work, and it need not have anything to do with your request for prayer. In fact, they can come in at separate envelopes. As far as I'm concerned, we're going to pray for you just as hard, but we do appreciate your gifts because we do need them. With the cost of everything going up, the cost of postage, the radio time, I don't know. You know, the White House, the president keep telling us that the cost of living is going down, but it doesn't seem like it to me and the people I talk to. And you visit the grocery store, and every time things just keep going up, up, up. I don't know where they're getting all this stuff about no inflation. No inflation, baloney. Well, I think what Paul said in the Bible is true. In the last days, men would go about deceiving and being deceived. I think that's pretty accurate in terms of a lot of our politicians today and their pronouncements about inflation and all those things. But inflation's been hitting us pretty hard here at Bible Home Church, and we appreciate your help. Now, we always have some beautiful music, and we're going to have some in just a minute from Johnny Ray Watson. So many of you like the theme song, but you only hear a few little beats of it. Well, we're going to have the whole song, It's Beginning to Rain, by Johnny Ray Watson, in just a moment. Wanted to mention something to you that's come to my attention. You know, a lot of people ask me, and I always find it sort of humorous. I get one person, and they'll come up to me at a meeting, or they'll write to me or email me, and they'll say, "Dear Brother Tex, I sure hope you don't believe in that Trinity. That's just a doctrine right out of hell." And the next person will write to me and say, "Dear Tex, let me know if you believe in the Trinity. If you don't believe in the Trinity, you're right out of the pit of hell." So I'm getting it from both sides here. And you know, the Bible doesn't talk about the Trinity. The word Trinity is not found in the Bible. But what do I believe? What do we believe here at Bible Home Church? You know, there are a lot of things the Bible doesn't teach, but Nevertheless, the concepts, the Bible doesn't specifically mention, but it nevertheless teaches certain things. The Bible talks about one day we shall be caught up to be with the Lord. A lot of men go around talking about a rapture. It doesn't use the word rapture, but it certainly talks about being caught up. So you can call it what you want to. But if you want to call it the great catching up, that's okay. That's be biblical according to 1 Thessalonians. But listen to this. Here is what we believe. You want to know what we believe about those things? Is God three or is God one? Well, let's just go to the Bible. I like that. I like to give people an answer from the Bible. Read with me, my friends, 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. Verse 10, it says, "He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not, God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." You know, in Philippians it says he has a name above every other name, and that name is Jesus. Is there a Son of God? Yes, there is. Is there a God? Yes, there is a God. Is there a Holy Spirit? Absolutely. Now, I don't even use the name, the term Trinity around here. Don't try to confuse me with men's terms. I want to tell you about the Father, our God, and the Son, Jesus Christ, and about the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. That's what I want to talk about. Is that the Trinity? I don't use that term in our ministry. I don't even like it. But I know one thing. There is a Father, Son, and a Holy Ghost. Don't try to convince me otherwise. Listen to verse 7. It says, "For there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost." Now who are the three? The Father, the Word. Who is the Word? Well, John 1 says, "The Word was made flesh and dwell among us." Jesus Christ. That's the Word of God. And then there, of course, is the Holy Ghost, the Spirit. Now, friends, you can't deny it. But listen just a moment. This is the way the false teachers do it. They don't tell you the whole story. I didn't read to you the whole verse. Did you catch that when you were reading with me? Are you right now out there screaming and hollering and saying, wait, Tex, you didn't finish? If so, you're absolutely right. I tricked you. But listen to this. Listen to this. What I read to you was right. It says here right in verse 7 of chapter 5 of 1 John, it says, "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost." But wait, it goes on to say more. It says, "And these three are one." And these three are one. Are there three? Yes. Are they one? Yes. Now, what I don't really appreciate, friend, are those people that forget to give out the whole counsel of God. They'll say, "There's three in heaven. There's three." And then there's the other crowd over there that don't tell you the whole story. They say, "There's one. There's only one." Now, friends, I think you're just as much a liar if you don't tell the whole story as if you tell a fib. You are. If you don't tell the whole story, you're just as much a liar as if you just concoct a bunch of malarkey. Now listen to me very carefully. I like the whole story. There are three that bear record, and these three are one. It's a mathematical formula. Three equals one. Well, you say that's not good math. Well, it's not to men. But who cares about men's math? God confounds the wise and uses the simple things of the world, doesn't he? His miracles to prove. Friends, listen to me. You say, I don't understand that. I don't understand how three can be one. I don't care whether you understand or not. You better ask God for more understanding. But don't doubt God because you don't understand your puny little weak mind. I can't help it because you're a simpleton. You say, now, Tex, that's not nice to call somebody a simpleton. Every person on earth is a simpleton until God reveals it to them. I put myself in that category, too. If I didn't have God's help, I couldn't make heads or tails out of what this means. Take this to a college professor and say to him, an unsaved college professor, take it to an Einstein. If there one exists today, and there may be some genius-like men, and say to them, can three equal one? And they will all say, well, I don't know how. Duh. And I say, friend, you're just ignorant. You're unknowing. You don't understand. But Daniel 12, verse 10 says, the wise shall understand. The wise who are given revelation by God. You know, people who don't understand the Holy Trinity, as they call it, or that they're three or one, you know what I say to them? Maybe you're not saved. If you can't understand these things, I don't even try. And I can understand them. Had a man write to me one time and he said, I think I've got you Christians, Tex. Explain to me, when Jesus was baptized, a dove alighted on his shoulders, which supposedly was a symbol of the Holy Spirit. And a voice was heard from heaven saying, this is my son in whom I am well pleased, that supposedly came from God. He says, now there we have three entities. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But they were not all together as one. Ha, ha, ha. An atheist wrote me that. I felt sort of sorry for the man. He doesn't understand. You know, even the newest discoveries in physics tell us that some things that seem to be separated are joined. And things that seem to be joined are separated. Did you know that if you sit in front of a desk and you feel the desk and it feels like nice, hard, solid surface, metal, or wood, it's not? If you could get a super electron telescope and study that, you would find out it's a mass of particles that have space between them. Just like the heavenly bodies seem to have space between them. You look into the skies and you see black space between the various planets and the stars. It's an illusion, my friend. There is stuff between them. And in the air, when you wave your hand out, you say, I can't feel anything. That doesn't mean it's not there. There are billions, trillions, quadrillions of particles in the air when you wave your hand, even as much as 6 inches, that you cannot see or feel nor hear nor even sense, but they're there. We do not understand separation or time. Who can understand that Jesus is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the earth? We say, no, he wasn't slain from the foundation of the earth. Why, he was slain in time, some 2,000 years ago. It's because you don't understand time. Even Einstein said time is relative. Einstein taught evidently what appears to be fact, although science is ever changing in its theories. But Einstein taught that if you jump on a spacecraft or a rocket and you fly into the heavens at the incredible speed of light, you will never grow old. You will never age. Isn't that astonishing? Because time will virtually stand still for you. So you get up in the spacecraft, you travel at the speed of light, you land back on Earth. 500 years from now, you haven't aged at all, but all of your loved ones are all dead and gone. That's what he taught. And it seems to be that science is true. How can that be? That by traveling fast, you don't age. Time means nothing. It's relative. How can that be? Well, maybe we have an understanding of how God created things and how God chose you, if you're of Him, from the foundation of the world before you were ever born, before you came out of your mother's body. Way, way, way back before Adam and Eve, God already knew you. He foreknew you. How could that be? I don't understand, you say. Well, friends, I don't care for your lack of understanding. I'm sorry. You know, as a kid, I used to look up at the skies. I was 7 or 8 years old, and I would get this strange feeling. I thought, how did it all get here? And if there is a God, how did he get here? If he created the earth, who created him? I don't understand. I still don't understand some things. And that's why I can't wait to get to heaven. I know one thing, through faith I have accepted Jesus Christ. And that made me a lot smarter than I was just a few moments before. You know, I became so much smarter and wiser from that moment on. It's amazing what having the mind of Christ will do for a man or woman. Well, I wanted you to know what I thought about things such as the Trinity and all. I tell you what I think. I think the Bible is right. How about that? Can you dispute me on that one, my friends? Whatever you believe. You people, you come up to me and you say, do you think there's three? Yes. And the next man comes up and says, do you think there's just one? I say, yes. And they both go away thinking that I agreed with them. And I did. And I just wish they would agree with each other. They might get along a lot better. Hey, if you dispute me on this, I'd like you to turn to Romans chapter 5, verses 5 and 6. Listen to this. This is amazing. This is an amazing verse of Scripture. It says, the love of God... Now remember now, God is the Father. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Did you know that in those two verses, Romans chapter 5, verses 5 and 6, we have the three of the Godhead? In that little bit of passage of Scripture, you have God mentioned, you have the Holy Ghost mentioned, and you have Christ. Not only that, it says that God sheds His love. He gives His love, puts it into our hearts. How does He do it? He uses the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, in our hearts. How can He do it? Because we don't have strength in ourselves, but He did it through Jesus Christ. In due time. Now, remember I talked about time. You say, well, why didn't he say, you know, in the year, you know, such and such. Paul just said, in due time. Hey, at God's proper time, when he thought it was the proper time, the right time, the appropriate time. Not man's time, not any particular year or date. I love those people that argue over and over. They'll say Jesus was born in 5 B.C. and some say no. 3 A.D. and some say no. They argue about when Jesus was born, and some say it was in the month of December. Others say no, it must have been April. Others say October. They fight over all these. I don't know why they fight over those things. I guess they're of some importance. You can have a lot of fun arguing over those things. But I'd just like to say, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. And who are the ungodly? I was ungodly. And in due time, Jesus died for me. Were you ungodly? You better believe it. Everybody is ungodly, undeserving. But thank the Lord, Christ died for you in due time. Well, I just want to mention to you, if you want to know about deity, about God, the Holy Ghost, and Christ, go to Romans chapter 5, verses 5 and 6. And the next time somebody says, I don't understand. Here you have God's love put into your hearts by the Holy Ghost. How and why? Because in due time, Christ died for your sins, because you were ungodly. All in one bit of Scripture. Now that is the whole Bible in just two little verses. You know, I think we can just close up Bible Home Church today, Sandra. I mean, I've already preached the whole Bible. Isn't that amazing? It's not something because I'm so smart or anything. No, not at all. In fact, you know, the more I read the Bible, the more I tell you, it bothers me tremendously. Every time I read the Bible, I realize how really much I don't know. I do. But I'm getting smarter. But you know, it's like teenagers. When they get about, you know, 18 or 21, suddenly they discover that their parents weren't so dumb after all. It's a big discovery for teenagers. I mean, up until that time, they thought their parents were not with it. Were just really dumb, old-fashioned, stodgy. And then suddenly they say, hey, old mom and dad ain't so bad after all. You know, when they get to be an adult themselves and they see, you know, the world is what it is and, you know, you get so much smarter. It's like I had a friend. Oh, and he battled with me all the time. He just thought abortion was a great thing and was helpful to women and that homosexuals should have their rights. And, oh, you know, they'd been so wronged. And, oh, he had all these liberal ideas and everything. Then he came to know Jesus and, you know, he just changed overnight. The man suddenly had new revelations. All those months I argued and I argued and I argued with the man. You know, that taught me something. You can't argue with a sinner. You just argue till you're blue in the face. But bring them Jesus Christ, and the Holy Ghost will instruct them in all things. He'll teach them everything they need to know. Pretty soon they'll be teaching you if they read the Bible enough, and you don't, and you'll be embarrassed. You'll be ashamed. And that's true. You know, most new baby Christians, they have to teach the older Christians that have gotten jaded and backslid and no longer read the Bible. It takes the baby Christians to teach the older Christians. That's sort of a shame. Well, right now we're going to have a beautiful song by Johnny Ray Watson. It's called It's Beginning to Rain. Here's Johnny Ray.
The turtle dove is singing the sweet songs of the morning. The leaves of the trees send their silvery cups to the sky. The silent clouds above are beginning to gather. The barren land is so thirsty and so am I. It's beginning to rain, rain, rain. Hear the voice of our Father. Sing, whosoever will come drink of this water. I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky, it's beginning to rain.
Beginning to rain,
the young man's eyes start to shine as he tell of his vision. The old understands what he sees, for their dream, their dream. With the thrill of being alive, they reach for each other. And they dance in the rain for the joy of the things they see. It's beginning to rain, rain, rain. Hear the voice of our Father. Then whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky, it's beginning to rain. At the first drop of rain that you feel, open your window. Then call all the children together, throw wide the door. When the rain of the Spirit are falling, fill every vessel. For he who drinks his fill will thirst no more. It's beginning to rain, 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 in the voice of our Father. Saying, whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky, it's beginning to rain. If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky, it's beginning to rain.
We hope this week's program has been a blessing to you. Please tune in to Bible Home Church next week.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.